And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. A famous verse, John chapter 12 and verse 32. In the whole of human history, I think we can rightly say, and it's an amazing thing to say and to be able to say, but we can say it and we do say it, that in the whole of human history, nothing or no one has attracted men and women like the uplifted Christ. What is it that attracts people? If you were to look back over the generations of history, at times, at different times and seasons, different people have been attracted to many different things. People have been attracted to great figures of history. Great, or I should put great in inverted commas, some of them weren't so great, but people were still attracted. Some of the Roman Empire emperors, the crowds flocked to them and they seemed to rule the world. Figures like Napoleon, who marched through Europe, sweeping all in front of him, and the people flocked to him. Yes, he had his enemies, but people were attracted to this seemingly great man. And even, dare I say, a man like Hitler, who for a season, people were attracted to him. And thousands and millions flocked and stood at his feet. So people have been attracted to figures in history. People have been attracted in our age to great sporting events and heroes. We all have our sporting heroes. And of course, today we live in the age of fame and celebrity. And this seems to be what many people are attracted to, these great celebrities. And yet, the recent Jeremy Clarkson episode has shown that these celebs are also frail and fallible. But my point is this, that in comparison to all of these and others, the Lord Jesus Christ has continued to attract more people than all the others. And the point about all these other things that I have mentioned, they come and they go. They rise and they fall. But the Christ remains and continues to draw men and women to himself. And so our text this evening is this, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This text comes to us in the context of Palm Sunday. If you have your Bible open at John chapter 12, you will know that it is in John chapter 12 that John tells us some of the events of that first Palm Sunday, and we were thinking about some of the different people this morning who were attracted and who came and who reacted in different ways to the Lord Jesus. And we saw this morning there in verse 20 and following how these Greek people, these Greek men came, "Sir, we would see Jesus." And we saw how that sparked, that triggered in the mind and in the lips of Jesus, his speaking about the fact that they are had come. And he goes on to speak about what that meant. And it's in this context that we're told that as Jesus says in verse 28, "Father, glorify your name," we're told that a voice came from heaven, saying, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." Some of the people think it's thunder. Other people think an angel has spoken. But Jesus says, no, God has spoken. Verse 30. "This voice was for your benefit, not mine." Notice what he then says in verse 31. Now is the time for judgment on the world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. But I, when I'm lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. Let me just summarize that. In those couple of verses, before we focus on this text, verses 31 and 32, Jesus speaks there of a number of things that are going to be achieved through the cross. He speaks of the world being judged. He speaks of Satan being defeated. He speaks of himself being lifted up and exalted. And he speaks of people being attracted. Let me put it another way. The core Christian message of the cross of Christ is this. That on that day of crucifixion, that on that Good Friday, yes, it was a day of judgment upon the sinful world. It was a day of defeat on Satan. And it was a day of exaltation when Christ was lifted up, and it was a day of salvation. And there's a sermon there. There's a four-point sermon if you want one. And you can go away and reflect on that. But what I want to do tonight is to think again of one of those things. If I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. And I want to do this by just breaking this down in the following way. I want us to notice, first of all, something here about the person of Christ. Jesus says, and I, if I be lifted up. There is so much contained in the Bible, even in a few little words. You remember, this is all in response to these Greek men who came saying, sir, we would see Jesus. We want to see Jesus. And Jesus, through what he says and does, begins to show them himself. And here he says, and I. The Greeks had come, let me put it this way. The Greeks had come to see a real man. They had heard about this man. They wanted to see him. A real flesh and blood man. And this is the real Jesus that is to be presented in every generation. And Jesus says here, and I, if I'm lifted up, will draw men unto myself. And you see, the point here is this, that the one that's to be lifted up is not the Jesus of somebody's imagination or of somebody's fancy. It's not the Jesus of fiction or myth. It's not the Jesus as you like to think of him. It's the real Jesus that is to be lifted up. The real Jesus who met real Greeks. The real Jesus who was born into real space-time history. Who preached a real sermon on the real mount. Who turned real water into real wine. Who healed a real leper from real leprosy. Who raised a real Lazarus from a real tomb. Who would soon be lifted up on a real cross to die a real death. To rescue real sinners in need of a real salvation. You see, this is the Jesus who draws people. The real person of whom we read about in the Gospels. Not the Jesus of our imagination. Not the Jesus of some person who comes onto the radio saying, this is how I like to think of Jesus. Well, we'll not really bother about what the Bible says. This is how I like to think of him. That's not the Jesus who is to be lifted up. When that Jesus is lifted up, he will not draw anyone. But when the real Jesus of the scriptures is lifted up, and the real Jesus of whom we're about to see is lifted up, then men and women are drawn to him. That's the first thing, the person of Jesus. But the second thing is, notice here the work of Jesus. Jesus said, but I, when I am lifted up. Jesus speaks here of his crucifixion. We're told that in verse 33. He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. So here's my question. What is it that has real drawing power? What is it that has the power to draw men and women wherever the message is presented? I tell you, it is this. It is the presentation of the Christ who is presented to us in the scriptures. It is the presentation of the Christ who walked the road to Calvary's Hill. It is the presentation of the Christ who was lifted up as an atoning sacrifice for sinners and is the only means of salvation for those who are lost. That is the Christ who is to be presented. And it is at this point, I think, that some churches have lost their way. It is at this point that an explanation can be found as to why some churches grow and others do not. A preacher once said this, preach any Christ but a crucified Christ, and you will not draw men for long. You see, my point is this, and the point of the text, more importantly than my point, is this, that this is the Jesus who draws people. The Bible Jesus, the real Jesus, the crucified Jesus, the atoning Jesus, the substitutionary Jesus. I have quoted these words before, and I quote them again tonight. James S. Stewart was a famous preacher in Morningside congregation in Edinburgh some years ago. And I love what he once said in one of his sermons. He said, I, if I be lifted up from the earth, there is no magnetism like this. And hence the spark for this morning's children's address. Show men Calvary towering over the wrecks of time, and you will not preach in vain. The greatest service you can ever perform for those committed to your charge is to thrust the cross before their eyes. Set this as the center, and it will prove itself, said Stewart, in the 20th century, as in the first century, to be the power of God unto salvation. And so we are reminded here, what is it that will draw people? It is the presentation of the real person of Jesus as we find him in the scriptures. It is the presentation of the real work of Jesus. And what is that real core work of Jesus that we read about in the scriptures? It is his death on the cross on Calvary's Hill to save lost sinners. And here's the point. We see here in this text not only something about the person and the work of Christ, but the power of Christ. Jesus says, and I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw men unto me. What is the promise that we have here? And that is a promise. It is the promise that as this message is presented, that men and women will be drawn. There is much contained within these verses and within this thought. And I want to just tease out a couple of things for us this evening. People need drawn. Why do people need drawn to Jesus? It is because, to put it quite simply, they are far away from Jesus. They are separated from Jesus. I don't have these words on the screen, but if you glance, if you want to, over to Ephesians chapter 2, let me remind you of what it says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 11. It says this: "Therefore remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ." Folks, if you're here tonight and you're not yet a believer, I want you to understand this, that if you're not yet a believer, if you're not yet trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ sincerely for your salvation, you are separate from God. Don't be duped into thinking, "Oh, well, no, I haven't really given my life to the Lord Jesus, but I still know God." No, you don't know God. You don't know God. You're separate from God. And the scripture tells us here that you're actually not only separate from God, but that you're without any hope because you are godless. You say to me, "Well, I'm not godless in the sense that I live a terrible life." That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that you do not know God. And you need to be drawn. People need to be drawn to Jesus. And it is through the presentation of this simple yet profound message of Christ crucified that people are drawn. And here's another point. People will not come themselves. Why do so many people in our country not come to Jesus? Why is that? Well, it's obvious. They don't want to come to Jesus. They have more important things to do than come to Jesus. They're really not interested in Jesus. They have no desire to come. No desire. Their wills are captivated. Martin Luther once wrote a very famous piece, which was called "The Bondage of the Will," in which he presented, I think, very helpfully, the biblical truth that unconverted people are held captive. They have no real desire to come to know the Lord Jesus. And so God needs to work. God needs to work. And how does God work? God works through the presentation of the gospel and through the preaching of Christ. C.H. Spurgeon once said something about this. Let me just quote you. Listen carefully to this. Spurgeon once wrote on this subject. He says, "Sometimes when I'm trying to prepare a sermon to preach, I say to myself, why must I take all this trouble? If men were in their senses, they would run to Christ without calling. Why must we put this business so temptingly? Why must we plead? Why must we be so earnest?" And then he says this: "Because men do not want to come, not even to their own Savior. They do not wish to have their sins forgiven. They do not wish to be renewed in heart, and they never will come. No, not one mother's son of them, unless he that sent Christ to them shall draw them to Christ. A work of grace in the heart is absolutely necessary before the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus will be accepted by any one of them." And then he quotes the words of John 6. The Lord himself said, "No man can come to me except the Father who has sent me draw him." But folks, here's the point. How does the Father draw people? He draws them as they hear the message. And maybe even right at this point, he is drawing people as they hear of Christ being lifted up. Left to yourself, you will not come. But the Father is so gracious, so gentle, so kind, so compassionate that he sent Jesus to die for you, for me. That as you hear about that, you are drawn. You are drawn. And here's another thing. People are to be drawn to Christ, not driven. Jesus says, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." What's the best way to see people influenced for Jesus? It is that they will be drawn. We cannot drive people into the kingdom. Those of you who are farmers, I remember occasions on a farm and you're trying to, as we sit up in County Antrim, cap the cattle. Sometimes you could be trying to cap them into a particular place and then one just bolts and the whole place, it's terribly frustrating. And some of you are saying, "Oh yeah, I've been there, I've done that." You can't drive them. Well, you can try. But in a more serious level, you can't drive people into the kingdom. You can't do it at the point of a sword or the point of a gun. Nor ought we to try and coerce people into the kingdom. Sometimes people, for good reasons, they try to maybe frighten people into the kingdom. And let me say this, lest I be misunderstood. There certainly are things that people who are not converted should be fearful about. Facing death without Christ, that's a fearful thing. Leaving this world without the Lord Jesus in our hearts, that is a fearful thing. Standing at the judgment without a Savior, that is a horrifying thought. Yes, there are fearful things. But oh, the winsome drawing power of Jesus. There's a lovely little verse. I don't have it on the screen, but it's in Hosea, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea. And you can read it when you go home tonight or tomorrow. Hosea chapter 11. And Hosea is a book about how God's love for us. And it says this in Hosea chapter 11 and verse 4. Listen to this. "I led them with cords of human kindness, with ties of love. I lifted the yoke from their neck and bent down to feed them." And it's speaking about the Lord and how kind he is, how compassionate, how gracious. Whenever Jesus was in the world, the people were drawn to him. And when Jesus is preached, people will be drawn. There's a lovely little chorus. We don't sing it maybe that often. Some of you may know it. "Jesus, how lovely you are. You are so gentle, so pure, and so kind. You shine like the morning star. Jesus, how lovely you are." And that is the same lovely Lord Jesus who was lifted on a gibbet and put to death for our salvation. If you and I wish to win people for Jesus, you must seek to draw them through your gracious words and your gracious lives. We can't drive them into the kingdom, but we can draw them by God's grace and pointing to Jesus. But there's something I want to say just before I finish. Notice what this text says. "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." All men. All men. And somebody says, well, all men haven't come. That is correct. All men have not come. But this is not teaching a universalism that all men will be saved. The Bible doesn't teach that, actually. But it is teaching the universal appeal of the gospel. It literally means all types of men and women. Rich and poor and Jew and Gentile and black and white and orange and green, and wherever the gospel is preached, men and women drawn to believe, drawn to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you tonight, have you been drawn to Jesus? Even as the preacher speaks and as the message is proclaimed, have you sensed that drawing, that sense of being drawn in by the love of Christ and the grace of God found in Jesus Christ? You hear his call. Why delay? Why delay? It is Christ who is calling you. Not the preacher. It's not actually me that's calling you. It is Christ through his word. It's not a church that's calling you. It's not a denomination that's calling you. It is Jesus Christ. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to me. And even tonight, he draws. He calls, and you know in your heart it is the right thing to do. So why delay? Why hold back? This Easter period, we think of the one who was lifted up on a cross for our salvation. If you are a Christian tonight, what I want you to do is you need to pray. Pray earnestly that as Christ is presented, that people will be drawn. They can't be driven. They can't be carried themselves by somebody else, but Christ can draw them. Pray earnestly for that friend, for that family member, that person who, if truth be told, you were disappointed. They didn't come to the mission. But folks, the mission still goes on. The work still goes on. Pray, keep on praying that they will be drawn. And if you're not yet a believer, see that he was lifted up for you, and come in repentance and faith by his drawing power. I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. I came to Jesus and I drank from that life-giving stream. My thirst was quenched, my soul revived, and now I live in him. And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. A short prayer. Father, we thank you for this wonderful truth. And we pray, Lord, that even after the voice of the preacher stops, that the voice of the Holy Spirit will continue drawing us, giving us no peace until we find our peace in Jesus Christ. And we ask it for Christ's sake. Amen.